Hare Krishna. So, Prabhu, are there some questions?
Dear Maharaj, we have first question is directly relates with TMS Studio. How it is working? So, it was
to what?
About this question is directly relates with our studio, Theistic Media Studio.
Oh, that's I don't know. This is a class for asking like spiritual questions.
Yeah, this spiritual question about one saying of Shilashkar Maharaj. It was the case when devotees bought new phones for publishing, and some devotees say that substance is more important than form. And Shilashkar Maharaj immediately replied, "We want our publications to have both the highest quality substance and the highest quality form. In Vrindavan, form and substance are one." It's direct quotation of Shilashkar Maharaj. So, can you please comment about this? Because different devotees has different opinions about what's the nice form is. Yes, and what is Vrindavan?
Well,
can we?
Srila Guru Maharaj, sometimes he talks about hypnotism as a perspective on subjective evolution, but he will say that Krishna is the supreme hypnotist, and as he compels us to see something, and that's what we can see. So it's possible that there are many different viewpoints, right? Spiritual way of seeing things, material way of seeing things. Like our friend Nietzsche says, there are no facts, there are only interpretations. It's something along that line. So, Mala nam asanirni nam natabara astri nam smaro murtiman gopanam svajano shatam shitibujam shastra shapitro shishu mrityu boja pate virada vidusam tatvam param yoginam vrishninam paradevate iti vidito rangam gata sagraja. It's a very beautiful description of Krishna and Balaram entering the arena for Kamsa's Olympics, where on the plea of some sort of sporting competition, really he wants to kill Krishna and as many of his friends as possible. And we're told on the way there, Krishna and Balaram, they're, because of the Aprakrita Lila of Goloka, they're simple village boys, in one sense. That's their disguise. Just like the Vraja Gopis, we're told, Guru Maharaj saying sometimes, half-civilized, you know, jungle, silly jungle girls. They're disguised that way, but actually they're the most exalted souls. The leaders are leaders. They occupy that position. And we see that in Gaur Lila, the wealth of their suppressed opulence of Vrindavan, in this regard, their Shastric knowledge coming out, Jiva Goswami, the writings of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, but they're disguised in this way. It's something very mysterious and mystical. I remember Nrisimha Chaitanya Prabhu pointing out this one sloka in the 11th canto. I don't know it by heart, but, and I'm paraphrasing, but saying that the method of revelation preferred is like inference, not explicit expression, but that certain things are inferred. Paroksha bhadobedo yam balanam anushasanam. Gradually, should be revealed, like the way that you teach a child. Interestingly, Emily Dickinson has a line in her poem where she said, the truth should be told slant. And she's saying, it should be revealed gradually, lest all men become blind. Right? We talk about illumination. It's as if there's too much illumination at one time, blindness. So gradual revelation. So Krishna and the cowherd boys, being simple, disguised as mild-mannered cowherd boys, when they're approaching Mathura, they could use some nice clothes, and they see Kamsa's tailor. And this is mentioned as one example in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Seeing the Lord face to face, if you don't have devotion. As people are always wondering, God is such an abstract concept that they don't have to deal with this problem. They have other problems trying to understand divinity as something like palpable, accessible, tangible. But in this instance, and there are others, but this is one of them that comes to mind, Krishna standing right in front of him. That Krishna who everyone wants to see, to have a glimpse of, that the yogis are trying to meditate in their hearts, jnanis are trying to find, the karmis are seeking shelter from karmic reactions. On and on and on and on. That Krishna is standing right in front of them, this tailor. And why can he not recognize that? Here's Swayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, is he doesn't have devotion. It's a very wonderful thing. Mentioned Bhagavad Gita, bhaktosime sakha cheti. The Gita Rahasya, what's the secret of Bhagavad Gita? Devotion. We're trying to preach to people, but they won't appreciate it if there isn't some sort of awakening. As Srila Gurudev said to me in Vrindavan once, he's like reading the paper, and holds the paper. If Krishna doesn't want to reveal himself to someone, why should I? I should preface that by saying some guests had come, some visitors, but they already had in their mind what they thought Krishna consciousness was. They wanted to hear something from Gurudev to reaffirm what they had already conceived. They didn't come and sit at the feet of the Vaishnava, at the lotus feet of Sri Guru, to give up their minds and intellects, jnane prayasam udapasanamanta eva, bow their heads to enter that plane, get some. No, they had some other idea, and then want to have him stamp that so they can go away happy and live happily ever after in a fool's paradise. But he is having none of it. So that can also be seen in connection with his remarks. So here, Krishna's standing right before him. And he's saying, These are the king's clothes. You upstarts, you hicks, you Goloka, you know, Gokul hicks. These are clothes for the king. How dare you? You know, and we're told, here there wasn't a big discussion. That Krishna just went, and beheaded. Then they started going through the clothes, nice rack of clothes. Krishna put on some clothes, Balaram, you know, they're like white, blue, you know, or yellow, blue. Here, you know, here, oh, this is your color, you know. Then the rest, there are a lot of clothes there, they start passing them out to the other cowherd boys so that everybody would look, as Gurudev would say, very nice. But you have to smell good too. So then they meet Trivakra, Kubja, this hunchbacked lady who's, well, what do they call it? Like aromatherapy? What is the name for somebody who deals in fragrances? Aromatist, and there's got to be a word for it. I forget what it is. But she deals in all these different types of oils. And Krishna approaches her, and her response is to offer Krishna not only everything, the best of everything. Very different response. And a special oil for Krishna, special oil for Balaram. And also, Krishna is the Murtiman, Smara, Murtiman, Cupid personified, Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham, told how inconceivably beautiful Krishna is. Achintya Guna Swarupam, inconceivably, how do you say, qualities that are inconceivably beautiful. Right? Even Ananta and others who sometimes try to describe something of the beauty of Krishna feel that their description is a failure at the actual beauty of Krishna. It's some sort of representation. If Krishna wants to, he can infuse the representation with substantial, where he comes out, the beauty of Krishna, the form of Krishna can come out of that expression, actually. That's why we listen to devotees. I remember a class in Los Angeles many years ago, and I said something, and this one devotee was a friend of mine, an old friend, he came to me and said, about something I said in a class, he said, where did you get that? From one of those Gaudiya Mat books? And I said, no, it's in a purport of Prabhupada. His Prabhupada reminded us that books were not only for selling, but for reading. And then, but the phrase was so memorable. He said that there were saffron mercy particles coating the lotus feet of Krishna. And when the pure devotees glorify Krishna, their words are saturated with these saffron mercy particles, and they enter through the ear channel and touch the heart. I've never heard that. So some extraordinary power. Tavakatna, satam prasangam mamabhirya sangvado, bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha, taj joshanad asvabhavarga vartmani, shraddha ratir bhaktir anu kramishyati. If you can faithfully hear these things, shraddha ratir, you can, if you hear from someone who has attachment to Krishna, it can awaken that attachment in you, and then the heart can express devotion, or become flooded with devotion. But Kubja, her devotion went to the extreme degree, touch of Krishna. Krishna is saying, oh, be merciful. And we're told she is an incarnation of Bhu Shakti, means Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimalavadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Hey Krishna. As you wish. She's said to be an incarnation of Bhu Shakti. What does that mean? Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimalavadut Maharaj Ki Jai. The earth. Why did Krishna descend? Right? Yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shrijamyaham puritranaya sarunam vinashaya chiduskritam. Just like Varaha, the Varaha avatar, the earth was in a fallen position, and say, near the bottom of the universe. So Varaha Dev appeared, we're told initially, interestingly, from the nostril of Brahma, came out like thumb size, and then started growing to universal proportion. And as his inconceivable pastimes would have it, through smell, how do they find, what are those things they have in Italy? Huh? Truffles, yeah. The way they find them was with boars or pigs, because they have this extraordinary smelling sense. So it's interesting. We can say, no, Varaha is omniscient. Of course he can know. That's not how he does it, right? Kurma cannot scratch his own back because he's a tortoise. Can't reach. Who says, sarvadak panipadam tak sarvatokshi shiromukam sarvam shruti sarvatak shrutimaloke sarvam avrityatishtati. Everywhere is eyes, his hands, legs, eyes, faces. But he can't do that. He needs the devotees. So Varahadev, he can smell. What does Krishna say? Punyo gandak prativyam cha. I'm the original fragrance of the earth. He can smell that. That leads him to the nether regions of the universe. And how? With his two tusks, he picks up the earth and puts her in her, you know, rightful position. So what does Krishna do in the case of Kubja? With two fingers and his lotus feet, he steps on her feet and takes her underneath the chin, and goes, and she's no longer in that bent over position, which was symbolically due to the account of so many sinful kings and horrible things going on in the world. So he is saving the earth. It's one aspect, one perspective on that pastime that someone may appreciate, like the Acharyas in their commentary. But due to the touch of Krishna, just like the verse says, Brindaranyam Swaparamanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. When Krishna and the Balaram and the cowherd boys are singing, dancing, playing their flutes, entering the Vrindavan forest. At the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna, the earth is shivering in conjugal ecstasy. That seems to contradict the science of rasa. The earth we would take to be Shantaraja. She's shivering in conjugal ecstasy at the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna. Anything's possible for him. So, Kubja being touched by Krishna, that awakens erotic sentiments in her. And she's inviting Krishna to her house. And Krishna, he's looking at Balaram, some of the other cowherd boys, saying like, for snacks? She's saying, well. He said, anyway, we have some engagement now. Later, we can come to your house. Right? So when Krishna, who does he encounter next? Oh, Kuvalayapida, the elephant, who is being goaded by his keeper, like he's like an elephant and must, you know, fiercely angry, ready, they're goading him to crush Krishna. And Krishna's playing with him, going under his legs where he can't see him, then showing himself. The elephant tries, the tusks go into the ground and just miss Krishna. It's very dramatic. It's a dramatic tension. It's a beautiful scene. If we think in this world, cinematographers, they can create so much drama and tension. How much drama and tension do you think there are in the Leela of Krishna? And how realistic is it? How scary, fear-inducing can it be if you have the kind of skill of Yoga Maya and Balaram, they're casting, scripting Krishna Leela. But then, what is Krishna? Oh, grabs him by the tail and he's like body slamming the elephant until at last he pulls out one of his tusks and stabs him with it and kills him. So now he's carrying that on his shoulder. So when they enter the arena of Kansa, Kansa looks over and sees they're wearing his clothes. And the elephant meant to kill him. Krishna is carrying a giant tusk that's dripping with blood. There's blood all over. So Kansa can understand, like, we got to go from plan B to plan C. You know, like. But that's when this sloka appears, beautifully written by Vyasadeva. Mala nam ashanirni nam nadabara stri nam smaro murtiman. That the wrestlers, Krishna looks like lightning to them. We know how shocking it is to see lightning. There was some lightning last week. It's a shock. You're never really prepared for that. Right? Nadabara. So the people in general think this is the most extraordinary man they've ever seen. Srinam Smara Murtimam. The ladies think it's Cupid personified. As we hear in this section, Gopyastapakimacharan Yadamusya Rupam, Lavanyasarama Samordram, Ananya Siddham, Drigbi Pibanti Nusava Binavandarapam, Ekanta Dama Yashasha Shriya Aishwaryasya. The ladies of Mathura, they're so overwhelmed seeing the matchless beauty of Krishna. But interestingly, then they think, because they're seeing Krishna now, after hearing about him a long time, they're seeing him momentarily, their thoughts immediately turn to the Braja Gopis, where they're thinking, what did they do that they get to see Krishna all the time? That's what means Gopyas Tapak. Tapa. What kind? Did they do some kind of special austerities that they just get to look at Krishna 24/7, nonstop? That's what they're immediately thinking about. Right? Even in the presence of Krishna, we're told, Gurudev liked to quote that sloka from, what is that? Chandidas or Vidyapati, about that meeting will never satisfy. It's a very peculiar thing. It will only awaken more intense desire in the devotees. And that's actually the what all the devotees in connection with the Krishna consciousness movement experience. This idea of somehow realizing or capturing Krishna is a static misconception. Rather, the devotees are always in the position of hankering, even in Krishna's presence. Right? It's not enough. Right? The expansion and contraction of time and space, the rasa leelas, and by the way, Mahaprabhu's kirtan, evening kirtan, well, they're 4,300,000 years, 4 billion. 300 million years and duration. It's not enough. They think, oh, that was a blink of an eye. So I think that is very intense. The magnitude of intensity expressed in that is inconceivable. Yet separation is more intense, that the blink of an eye is like 4,300,000,000 years. So what are they dealing with? So those women in Mathura, they're thinking, what did the gopis do that they, you know, own, control, copyright, trademark, Krishna, Radha, Padman, Kitadam, Vrindavan, Jaranam. That's how they're thinking. But then, so Srinam Smara Murtiman, Gopanam Swajanam, and the gopas, the Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, their affection is so intense. They're thinking, that's our Krishna. Right? Krishna belongs to them. The way people, they own someone who's from their own village, they're very proud, very happy to identify themselves with them, or this is our relative, that kind of, they have that type of sentiment, but toward Krishna. Swajanam, he's our man. Gopanam, Swajanam, Shittibhujam, Shastra, and Vasudev and Devaki, they're seeing their son, Mrityu Bhojapate, and Bhojapati, that means Kangsa. He's seeing death personified. We're told in the Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham. If we don't realize Krishna in any other way, then at last, as death personified, that's what Kangsa is seeing. Mrityu Bhojapate, Virad Vidusam. Others seeing the universal form of Krishna, Tattvam Param Yoginam. The yogis are seeing the Paratattva. Vrishni Nam Paradeva Deity. And the Vrishnis are seeing their worshipable Lord. As he enters the ring in the company of his elder brother Balaram. So all these perspectives are possible. So what Srila Guru Maharaj was telling us, that person who all along was emphasizing substance over form, right? And with so many examples and so many ways of illustrating that point, in this particular case, he introduced something new, because Guru Maharaj is capable of giving something new and fresh perspectives on things. And so he said, in this instance, that in Vrindavan, form and substance are one. In this world, we'll say substance over form. That means when there's a clash between the absolute and the relative, and the spiritual and the material. But in Vrindavan, that problem is not there. He's saying, so in that plane, you know, mukti arhidvanyata rupam svaropena vibhastiti. What Narada is telling me is, you have to tell him about this world where form and substance are one. The swarup is the personification of the substance. So he said, there, form and substance are one. Highest quality and the greatest quantity. And the highest quality and the greatest quantity. As we were talking before, the mundane scenario that there's a trillion, trillion stars, and then there's one planet among the trillion, trillion stars of the known universe. And on that one planet, it sustains a conscious elite. And on a lucky day, they have a drop of happiness. And then, like, let's just blow our brains out right now. Right? That's all you have to look forward to. But that's the bad news. The good news is just the this is a perverted reflection of reality. Just the opposite is true. The objective world is the iceberg floating in the ocean of consciousness, the drop. The consciousness is vast, and the ultimate, all-encompassing, infinite substance is anandam. But don't be afraid, it's not abstract. It's the golden mean, the central conception of the infinite, personified as reality, the beautiful, charming, sweet, loving, affectionate, personal Krishna. And these are his pastimes. So, but with, and how merciful is he? Within that objective world, innumerable incarnations are descending. Once a day, he's coming himself. Once a day of Brahma. In his original form, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And in the Kali Yuga that follows that, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhava Duti Subolita, Nomi Krishna Swarupam. That Krishna comes. And what is he distributing? The highest type of Krishna prema. What is found in the heart of Srimati Radharani, he's celebrating that in the world and distributing that to the world, making that accessible. So how to present that, how to bring someone in connection with that? Have you told that line? That the truth must be told slant, gradually, lest all men become blind. In the Bhagavatam's word, paroksha bhada bedo yam bala nam anushasanam, in installments, like the way the full truth is not revealed to a child, but given an installment. We say, there's the sun, it's not moving, and the earth and so many planets are orbiting the sun. Again, oh, okay. Then later, after that concept is grasped, then we say, you know that non-moving sun with the planets orbiting? Yes. Actually, it's all, they're pivoting around the pole star. But if we say from the beginning, Earth is rotating, sun's going around, pivoting the pole star, it's confusing. So maybe someone says, it's a lie, the sun's not, well, but that tells the truth. You say, it's not moving, has so many orbiting, then grasp that, then actually they're all moving and pivoting around the pole star. So when Guru Maharaj talks about evolution, he's saying actually it's to achieve its actual position. Just as we speak of the sun rising. Like now the sun has set. Really? And so many hours from now, tomorrow morning, we'll say, oh, there's the sunrise. It's just the perspective. Actually, the sun's not rising and setting like that. It's a viewpoint. It's a way of seeing things. It's a perspective. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us, when it comes to Krishna Leela, that just as right now, maybe one of our viewers somewhere also, there's a sunrise. If we did a conference call, someone would say, oh, there's a beautiful sunrise right now. Someone else say, no, actually, there's this beautiful sunset that's taking place. Someone else says, no, the blazing hot sun is over our heads. Someone else, it's pitch black, midnight. And all of them would be correct. So Kaviraj Goswami is telling us, the pastimes of Krishna are like that. According to the capacity of the devotee, it's being revealed to them. So someone seeing this way, someone seeing another way. Vrindavan Das Thakur, what he's seeing and recording and expressing in Chaitanya Bhagavat is perfect. It's a particular perspective. But when the devotee is heard from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, some pastimes that were similar, but then they heard a perspective on the pastimes of Mahaprabhu that they had not heard yet, but that was internal perspective of why Sri Chaitanya Dev descended. They begged him to record this for the posterity, for everyone. So different perspectives. So when you say about the devotees, it's all right to have different perspectives. But Srila Guru Maharaj, who can accommodate all of them, he surprised us all once again by saying, no, our target is that plane where quality and quantity are one. That was a very beautiful and sweet thing. And as far as publications, when Guru Maharaj was happy that we bought like the best press to print his books. Not a press, but the best one. We tried to, according to our resources, to always get the best things available in service to his Harikatha. And in retrospect, we're happy about that. When the people challenged Saraswati Thakur, why are you using all this technology? You know, sadhus, they're not even supposed to wear shoes. Right? Or ride a bicycle, or go on a bus, or a bullock cart. They're supposed to walk everywhere barefoot. And he has printing presses. And he's saying, no, actually, only this technology should only be used by the devotees. They have it's not that they shouldn't, they have the only legitimate use for all of this. So it's by Avadhut Maharaj's grace, we also have assembled like the best technology for making propaganda in favor of Krishna conception. We have no excuses. By his mercy, we have all of the best things. So then we have to
learn how to use
it. become worthy. Like Gurudev said about one, you know what they used to call, like the typographers before, they had a box with all the different the letters in it. And so some people are really good at, you're holding, I forget the name of all these things now, but the thing that you lock up the type on, you pull, it's like, it was very mechanical. But Gurudev said, that man who worked on the books for the Gaudiya Math, he this is the expression he used, he said, the will of Saraswati Thakur was playing upon him very beautifully. That's how Gurudev saw it, the way his hands were moving, pulling the letters. So it's according to perspective. So someone will see that the skills of the devotees, that their skill sets that they're offering in service to Guru and Gauranga, they see the will of Sri Guru is playing upon them very nicely, beautifully. Vilasatu hridi nityam bhakti siddhanta vani. Like that. We want to offer ourselves as instruments for that divine vibration. Guru Maharaj translated his name, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So Saraswati is the goddess of speech, even materially speaking, but also of Dibya Saraswati, divine speech. So Saraswati can also be rendered as Vani. That's how we got Bhakti Siddhanta Vani, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Vilas. It's playful, divine, playful pastime. Vilasatu hridi nityam, eternally playing on our hearts, means the core of our consciousness. the divine words, message, orders, Harikatha of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's why we're here. That's what we're trying to, by the grace of our Guru Varga, trying to reproduce and make accessible to people. Everything else is just bait. That's the meaning. Pujala Ragapat Gaurava Bhange Matala Sarujana Vishaya Runge. It's bait to attract people to come in connection with this substance. As Saraswati Thakur said, Harikatha Durvika. There's enough of everything else. This is the mundane world. There's actually no shortage of mundane things here. It's the mundane world. And you can mismanage it, but there's no shortage of any of those things. So his only concern was the stream of this current descending into this plane, bringing people in connection with that. Guru Maharaj said, he would say this when you get very excited. Excited, that's the polite word for upset or angry. Like, that's what excited means. Means when people would go off, become distracted, go off on a tangent, and start thinking something else is more important or equally important. You're saying, no, this is the only, or, you know, we have a shortage of this, that. He's saying, no, this is the only shortage. And as Guru Maharaj wrote me when we started preaching about him, went back to America to begin preaching about him, he said, don't doubt that your Guru Maharaj is pleased with what you're doing and I'm pleased with what you're doing. And he said, and if you do this sincerely, Mahaprabhu will personally supply all the resources necessary for your service. Like, don't doubt it, don't worry about it. Just be sincere in trying to extend this to others, what we got from the Guru Varga, just sincerely try to give that. Mahaprabhu will supply all the resources necessary for your seva. So when Srila Gurudev concluded his introduction, perhaps it was the Bhagavad Gita or any other publication, he said perfectly that whatever substance you find here, that's the grace of my Guru Maharaj. If you find any element that doesn't match up to that, or is an error, a fault, or flaw, I take responsibility for that. But whatever spiritual substance you find here, and that's the grace of my Gurudev. When Srila Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj was telling this story to a group of leading devotees once, and he said, Saraswati Thakur dictated something that wasn't in perfect English. And his editor, Professor Sanyal, when this was brought to his attention, he said, then let the dictionaries and the grammars be changed, but what Guru Maharaj said is perfect. And when Guru Maharaj is telling that story, that group, they're going like, Jai, Hari Bol, that's the mood. That, Guru Maharaj is like, wait, like, I'm not finished. And then Guru Maharaj said, then little higher devotee came and said, our job is to serve our Guru Maharaj. If we let this go to the public, and it causes them to ridicule him or think that he doesn't speak properly, that some blame will come to us. So our service is to make the language perfect. Guru Maharaj said, little higher devotee came with this perspective. So saying, the other one is saying, no, let it be the way it is, it's perfect. That sounds really heartfelt and like real Guru Bhakti. Guru Maharaj saying, not so much. the higher devotee said, we have a difference. Our service is how to deliver this message to the public with our Guru Maharaj and his line, keeping their dignity intact, as Jiva Goswami did for Rupa and Sanatan. When, in different ways, that time when Balabhacharya thought he found something wrong, I mean, this is taking it the other direction now, that he found something wrong from a, grammatically speaking. And Rupa Goswami's like, oh, okay, you know, he knows Balabhacharya is a great pundit. Oh, I can change that. But Jiva Goswami cannot tolerate this. He is down at the Jamuna, like, washing pots. Many great pot washers in this movement. When my old friend Kusha Kranam and I met him in Vrindavan, the first time we met, we were both washing pots in the New York Temple in Brooklyn. But in the soap dish, he had an index card. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm learning Sanskrit. He went on to translate every book in existence. He later became a Sanskrit scholar. But there we're washing pots and in the soap dish, and I said, why not? And we're both going, I remember the slogan too was Imam Bivashvate Yogam Proktaban Aham Avayam Vishvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit. Fourth chapter, the first verse. So he is doing that. Then later I met him in Vrindavan, like, he's now left the world, but, and I said, what are you translating? He said, no, there's nothing left for me. I translated them all. And he said, it's funny, in this movement, he said, there's only two positions available for someone like me, pot washer or Sanskrit scholar. So anyway, Jiva Goswami's, he keep washing the pots of Rupa, Sanatan, and Balabhacharya is there. And Jiva Goswami, he doesn't know who this boy is. He points out to him that what Rupa Goswami wrote is perfect. Taking it to the other side now. And convinced him that it was, showed him, demonstrated how it's perfect. So when Balabhacharya went back, saying like, who's that boy washing pots down at the Jamuna? But then what to go for? Then Rupa Goswami, he doesn't like Jiva showing this kind of ego. So he ousts him from his ashram. Right? Then Sanatan Goswami finds Jiva Goswami under a tree in Vrindavan. He said, I thought you were staying with Rupa Goswami. I was. He ousted me from his ashram. What? How is that possible? Then Sanatan Goswami's chastising Rupa Goswami. What is it? The Jive Doya sloka, Nama Ruchi Vaishnava Seva Jive Doya. He says, don't you know, aren't you following Vaishnavism? That you should be merciful to Jiva? And there's one Jiva suffering like anything out there and you're not being merciful to him? So it's all different perspective and all beautiful can also be. Saraswati Thakur said to Guru Maharaj more than once, improve your dress. Guru Maharaj was like too much like a sadhu. Saraswati Thakur, improve your dress. You're a preacher. Look good. For that. Don't go the other way. When Guru Maharaj was making a center in South India, Saraswati Thakur, when he heard it was Guru Maharaj doing it, he went like, and they're going to go, Saraswati Thakur was saying, it's going to be bamboo huts. Like, you know, he thought because it's Guru Maharaj, it's going to be, it turned out it was not. He was pleasantly surprised. because by that time Gurmar's adjusted himself. The gopis make themselves look beautiful for the pleasure of Krishna. They're not vain, but they look perfect. No one looks as beautiful as they do. They also know how to make themselves look extra beautiful just for the pleasure of Krishna. They realize we exist to please him. That includes how we represent ourselves. When that, was it, the wealthy disciple of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami came to him. So, like, I've got all this money. Raghunath Das Goswami, he's still living under a tree. He said, oh, you can build a temple for Govindaji. That's how that temple came, from the money of the disciple of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And we've all visited, right? Interestingly, they don't go, and here is Rupa Goswami's room. So, of course, Krishna wanted to say, Bhushanamanganam, Bhushanabhushanamanganam. Krishna's the ornament's ornament. Like when they're trying to sell something in this world, they put it on a beautiful, like on a supermodel. And then everyone said, oh, I want to get one of those. Right? Because whatever it was, you put it on this particular person, now it looks extraordinarily beautiful. That's what the Bhagavatam says about Krishna. Bring something in connection with Krishna, suddenly it looks very beautiful. I remember Krishna Kshetra Prabhu and I, so many times we went to Bulgaria and nothing ever happened. Like we can tell stories where like really nice things happened. Nothing, it was tough. And I could say this, and it was starting to look really ugly because so many times we just couldn't enter. After Romania, we'd always try to go and things just weren't happening for us. And so I was starting to think, this place looks so ugly. It's winter time and snow and slush. I just thought, it's like we're in hell. And then somehow we got a program to do in the evening with some people. And suddenly the slush looked beautiful. The Bulgaria was looking like the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. And we realized, oh, it's because tonight we have a program. Krishna's the Bhushana Bhushanangaram. Connect something with Krishna, and then it becomes, its innate beauty comes out. Release the words from local context, connect them to Krishna, they run towards Krishna conception, Madhva says. I felt when we were in Russia in the beginning and talking all day and night about Krishna as best we could, that's the first time I'm hearing the words of Russian language expressing Krishna consciousness. It was ecstatic. I can't tell you how ecstatic it was. And it appeared, we felt like each word, they're saying, use me to express Krishna. That they're like offering themselves, like jamming the minds of the translators to like, please use me to express Krishna and his beauty. Is there any other question?
So,
is this a moon thing, or they're just bargaining? Okay, yes.
So, Maharaj, where is this edge between to present our gurus, right, or to change something? It's always
well,
an edge.
Well, that's a very delicate matter. It requires some qualification. There's things I could say that I can't say. But what should I try to say? That the guru should have given some indication. It's a very delicate matter. Because on the one hand, we don't want, my words should not be misunderstood. It's like neophyte, newly recruited devotees should be altering the words of guru. That's not the idea. But when it comes to publication, then those have been shown, demonstrated some ability, and some common sense has to be there. Look, in the material world, there was a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine of an author sitting in a cafe with his translator. But the author has this look on his face. And the caption is the translator saying, "Be thou unhappy with I as translator of books of you." And he's like, so we're not saying in the secular world, for someone to translate, for example, they not only have to have equal fluency in both languages, that's a given. They should have equal fluency in both languages, but generally, they've made a lifelong study of that author. In other words, they read that author. They've been studying that author for 20, 30 years, everything about them. So that with some competency and confidence, they can represent what was in the original, interpret it so that that the concept comes through. Because we should remember, when it comes to translation, all translation is interpretation. All translation is interpretation. When someone was translating something of Guru Maharaj, and I had just happened to hear Guru Maharaj explain the same thing himself that morning, and I realized it was not the same. So I met with Srila Guru Maharaj in the afternoon and informed him about this, just so he would know. I thought he should know. And he said to me, "Is anything coming through?" And I said, "Yes, it's not that it's completely off. Something's coming through." He said, "Then it has value." And he gave an example. He said, just like there's a sloka when you give a class, you take one sloka, you're going to explain that sloka. He said, it's not that you've exhausted what can be said about that sloka. According to your inspiration at that time, you've faithfully represented what you could according to your capacity of what's there. Because now we come back to an essential Guru Maharaj principle. We're dealing with the infinite. So what is our capacity to represent the infinite? If you hear these prayers, when Mahaprabhu will command a devotee, whether it's Kolavecha Sridhar, it could be Jagayan Madhai, it could be many, Murari Gupta, others, they will begin their glorification by saying that, "I don't possess the qualifications to do that." And by saying something along the lines of, the treasure of your glorification is guarded in the the mouth of Anantadev, of Anantashesh. And he's been trying to glorify you properly since before time immemorial and is unable to exhaust your glories. What can I say? Only you can glorify yourself properly. And this is the case with Anantashesh. But at this point, only Krishna is capable. That means it has to be descend from that plane into this plane with someone offering themselves as an agent of expression. So all of these things have to be taken into consideration. We look at the work that Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada did. He was not only being humble when he said, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. He was not a Sanskrit scholar. But according to the necessity of that seva, he was empowered to do it and form the basis of the worldwide infusion of the Krishna consciousness movement and what passed through him. Once on a walk in Atlanta, I remember it was finished now, 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I was just reading, Adi 1 came out last because he had already written those in India. So the first volume was the last one to be published. Anyway, I'd just been reading it, and a library party was in Georgia. So we're in Atlanta, we're on this morning walk with Prabhupada. Like when Swarup Damodar would be there, and Prabhupada would go, scientist! That's what he would call it. And then Swarup Damodar would come up from the back. But anyway, this morning I said, Prabhupada, the scholars that we're getting standing orders of your book, they're amazed at your output. Right, 17 volumes published in 18 months. Right? And Prabhupada started deflecting the praise, saying, there's, Jayadvaita and Pradyumna. He started naming different devotees who assisted him in making his books. And I said, Prabhupada, yes, they know that you have a staff and assistants and everything. I said, but they're amazed that one man can produce all of this. And Prabhupada stopped and he turned and he goes, they are amazed. I am amazed. Even he's saying, some current was coming down through him. He said, I am amazed. That's the standard that we aspire to. Guru says, what's descending? When Sanatan says, some higher power is moving my hand, Krishna's Kaviraj, the Madan Mohan are making me write and express these things. That's the actual standard for pure Vaishnava literature. So when it's a sacred seva, sacred duty to edit the words of Sri Guru and ensure that the authenticity of the and the the purity and the of the conception, not to taint or adulterate that current. Like when we heard Guru Maharaj referred to as Rupa Nuga Dhara. And I naively said, I don't understand, what does this mean? And Guru Maharaj, like with his head bowed and shy, one who's carrying the current of Rupa Goswami. That flow, that we have to remember, that's what Chaitanya Saraswat Mat is founded on and meant to express. Sri, what is it? what is the line? Sri Rupanuga Kirtimati, Kirtimati, Sri Pantan, one of them? Srimad Chaitanya Sarasvatamatabara Udgita Kirtir Jayasrim Bibrat Sambhati Ganga Tata Nikata Navadipa Kuladi Raja Yatrasi Gora Sarasvata Goragata Grananti Nirata Goragata Grananti. And this is it. Nityam Rupa Nuga Sri Kritimati Guru Goranga Radha Jitasa. Srila Guru Maharaj, he doesn't want anything less than that. Then we will say, oh, well, we're not that. Therefore, we offer ourselves in service to his servants, to promote that. That's how we keep the integrity of this line. Hare Krishna.